plaisir que je vous souhaite la bienvenue à l'occasion de notre concert du chœur des chambres Schulli. The German ambassador, Sabine Sparwasser, had intended to join us tonight. Unfortunately, due to the present weather conditions, she is not able to make it. She asked me to deliver the following address in her name. So I quote, November 9th is Germany Day of Destiny, Schicksalstag, the day of deepest shame and of greatest joy. On 9th of November 1918, Germany became a republic for the first time. On 9th of November 1989, 30 years ago, citizens peacefully took down the Berlin Wall. We celebrated that last week with immense gratitude. On the 9th of November 1938, naked brutality and organized persecution against Jews began in Germany for all to see. It ended in the Holocaust. This is what we remember every year, not as a ritual, but as an education for all of us to be vigilant and to recognize the signs. And we see many of these signs today in many countries. And worst of all, even in the country that has been built on a promise, never again, my country. Just a month ago, on Yom Kippur, a German terrorist, masked and armed to the teeth, attempted to storm a synagogue in Halle, in which more than 50 people were praying. Only the wooden door of the old synagogue stood between them. The door miraculously held. The terrorist then randomly shot and killed two persons and injured two more. When he was arrested, large amounts of explosives were found in his car. We mourn the victims and feel with their families. We imagine with horror the anxiety the community in the synagogue must have lived through. We also are shocked and disgusted to the core by what these horrific attacks reveal all too clearly. Antisemitism is on the rise in the world, in Europe, and in Germany. The attack on the Halle Synagogue is unique in my country in its brutality, but it is by far not the only manifestation of growing antisemitism in our midst. We all hear the stories. Jews wearing kippahs are insulted. communities receive hate mail. A Jewish kid gets mobbed in school. No country should know better than Germany how it all starts. First, by making jokes and calling people names. Then the intellectual arsonists, the xenophobes, nationalists, and populists divide the world into us and them and promote conspiracy theories. And soon, physical violence seems permissible. We need to stop this by many avenues and in all places. In the internet, by legislative and police measures. Still, the best and profoundest barrier against hate is education. Tonight, we remember and we celebrate education. I have dedicated this evening to one man who believed in the power of education. George Brady died in January this year at the age of 90. Many of you have read about him or seen him in the documentary Hannah's Suitcase. I will not retell the full story, only in a few words to those who may not have heard it. George and his sister Hannah, born in Czechoslovakia, were separated from their parents, brought to the concentration camp Terezin, and later to Auschwitz. Hannah and their parents were murdered in Auschwitz. George survived, emigrated to Canada, founded a wonderful family and a successful business. He dedicated the last 20 years of his life to remembrance and reconciliation. George had many stories. Astonishingly, many of them were very funny, at least in the way he told them. I always thought that the most moving story he told was the one about the boys of Terezin. In Terezin, the parentless boys were brought together in houses where they lived and were taught by other prisoners. George was in house number one. His teacher was Walter Eisinger, a young man of passion and warmth. He had his rarest and most precious of talents. He was a born teacher. With his boys, Walter Eisinger imagined a virtual world within the confines of Terezin, a world where human rights were respected, where religion and nationality did not matter. Everybody had a voice and a place. They called it the Republic of Skid. It had a flag, an anthem. The boys formed councils, voted, and took on as much self-government as was possible. They wrote a magazine, Vedem, in the lead. All of that secretly. The magazine Vedem survived, hidden in the camp. Many of the boys who contributed did not. Walter Eisinger was killed on a death march. But those boys who lived carried a light away, the light of humanism that had been lit in the darkest place on earth. George carried that light and spread it. We will listen tonight to the voices of the boys from Terezin. They are brought to you by young people, members of the Schoolish Singers from McGill University, under the leadership of Jean-Sébastien Lavallée. They have matched text with music. When we conceived this evening, and by we I mean wonderful Constanze Beckmann as a most dynamic curator, Itai Shapira, the composer, and the German embassy, we dreamed to win an excellent choir for tonight's performance. We did much better. We won the Schoolish Singers, a world-class choir, and our one concert got wings. It has now been performed in Toronto and Ottawa, and we are delighted to be able to see it in Montreal in McGill University. As in the past few years, I owe a depth of gratitude to my dear colleague, Nimrod Barkan, Ambassador of Israel, who has been our sponsor. He will leave Canada soon, and we will miss him. The concert has two parts, readings and songs, followed by the performance of Itai Shapira's The Attics, a piece about Terezin inspired by the book of the same name of 17th century philosopher Baruch Spinoza. The piece ends and starts with this Spinoza quote. If you want to present to be different from the past, if you want the present to be different from the past, study the past. Unquote. And now join me in welcoming the choir with a round of applause. Thank you.